When my mum was little, whenever they would ask her dad, my grandfather, what he would like for Christmas, he would say, "Some peace and quiet would be nice, thanks." Having four young children, it's not hard to see where he was coming from with that, is it? What is the most important thing our society needs? Sandra Bullock is asked in the chick flick Miss Congeniality. And what are the answers all of the beauty contestants give? World peace. World peace. World peace. Harsher punishment for parole violators, Stan, and world peace. And the crowd goes wild. Of course, when I talk about peace, I don't just mean military war. JFK said the absence of war isn't peace, but as those contestants in Miss Congeniality stated, the world, we need it. We need peace. We're not just talking about military conflict. And we're quite right in the sense that we can have a lack of military conflict, and yet we still are not at peace. Peace is indeed more than the absence of war. We need peace with one another, and we need peace with ourselves, don't we? Today is Good Friday, the day which Christians remember the crucifixion of Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, God himself. He lived a perfect and sinless life, and as we've read, was beaten, he was mocked, and hung on a cross wearing a crown of thorns. And we believe that this achieved peace. That is the claim of Good Friday. It might be a strange claim, mightn't it? Because this world doesn't actually seem that peaceful. When we look around, we look on the news, on Twitter, we can see that it doesn't seem like we have peace. Our own lives, they often don't seem that peaceful. For many of us, we have a very deep inward sense of turmoil, anything but peaceful. So today, let's look at how we get peace wrong and how these show us that we often fail to see the true cause of our unrest. And let's see how, as Christians, we believe God gets peace right and how he doesn't fail to deal with the cause of our disruption. So the very first claim is that we get peace wrong. We, as humans, we love the path of least resistance, don't we? The easiest option, well, that's got to be the best option. After all, why make life hard for ourselves? And this is what Pilate, the Roman ruler of the time, does. When Jesus is betrayed, he's questioned by the high priests. He's handed over to the Roman ruler. He questions Jesus himself. We can read about it here. We just did in John chapter 19. Having already declared Jesus innocent, Pilate is trying to release him. In fact, he has Jesus flogged. He places a crown of thorns on his head. He has him beaten, mocked, all to say, "Look, guys, he's been punished. Isn't that enough? Is that not good enough for you?" But the chief priests and the officers have said, verse 6, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate replies, "Do it yourself. He's your guy. You have the problem. Why not just do that yourself?" Pilate thinks, well, you know, he might still release him. The Jewish authorities who are crowded there, they go for Pilate's boss in the end. If you don't crucify Jesus, well, your boss won't be happy. Caesar, he's not going to be happy. Jesus called himself a king, and that's illegal under Caesar's rule. And so, in order to keep the peace, Pilate crucifies Jesus. Rather than sticking to what he knows is true, Pilate is a people pleaser. Rather than letting an innocent man go free, he lets him be crucified, all that he might have the crowd go away, that he would keep the peace. He takes, if you will, the easy option. This is in so many ways, so many of us, isn't it? We love the path of least resistance. We love the easy option. Where might we go for peace? To apps like Headspace, to meditation, to those spiritual sides of yoga. How many stressed out 7-year-olds do you know? Johanna Basford asked in an NPR All Things Considered interview. Her newly launched adult colouring book had sold out by the time the interview aired. And yet a year later, the adult colouring book industry, after its meteoric rise, had absolutely tanked. It turned out that the solutions that keep 7-year-olds occupied don't provide us with peace. They're simply too easy an answer. These practices, they focus inwards, don't they? They follow the advice of George Michael: you'll never find peace of mind until you listen to your heart. And yet, they really do nothing to bring peace with other people. In reality, they are just quick fixes. Perhaps you don't buy into the mindfulness answers. Maybe you go more of the find your purpose. Humanity needs a mission. Find your mission, your purpose, and you find your peace. Jean-Paul Sartre takes this to the extreme and says you'll never find happiness until you are ready to commit yourself to something worth dying for. Of course, what happens if you find yourself not committed enough? Or if you don't know your purpose, your cause? Well, don't expect peace. Don't expect happiness. And again, this doesn't particularly solve matters for us. Peace with others? Things that we can't control? Jordan Peterson, undoubtedly a proponent of this view, to find purpose and you find peace, says about humans in relation to our own lives and our inner selves, we're like bad employees and even worse, employers. Talk about peace. Sometimes it feels like we're at war with ourselves. Factor in constant competition in the workplace, a hashtag about the battle of the sexes, and any number of differences that can divide us. And we can see why Sartre would say hell is other people. The first claim about peace on Good Friday is that we get it wrong. We settle for easy answers. Whether it's people-pleasing, quick fixes of apps and colouring, or simply blaming others. What is clear about these supposedly easy answers is that they aren't answers at all. They don't cure the problem. Simply, they treat the symptoms. They are sticking sellotape on the fault lines of our existence. It's clear that they don't deal with the cause. There are many theories about the causes of our lack of peace. Many answers for the why. And maybe if you're here today or tuning in online, some of these you may have given some thought to and you might even subscribe to them. One answer given is that it's simply natural selection. We get into conflict with one another, don't we? We desire better things for ourselves and it's just the natural way of things. We're in competition and therefore we've got no peace. Conflict makes sense for evolution. Of course, if this is the total answer, then we have to wonder why conflict feels so wrong to us, why lack of peace feels so disturbing. Why would we think that peace is a desirable thing if it was conflict that was a means for our advancement? Or maybe we may just blame other people in general. General selfishness. People are mean to each other. Let's not try to be like that. And that's our answer. Well, you know, we can all get on board with that, can't we? As Christians, we can agree with the general selfishness, that is a factor. But it's not the root cause. And certainly the solution of, well, try not to be like that. We obviously think we shouldn't want to be selfish. But as a solution, it doesn't offer much hope. Just try and be better. Where's the hope in that? If it were that simple, would we not have already achieved it? We may think about trying to blame religion for the cause of war. It's something you hear quite a lot, isn't it? Those immortal words of John Lennon. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. And no religion too. Imagine all the people living in peace. And while certainly religion and religious conflict historically has caused unimaginable suffering, this answer doesn't hold up in the light of objective evidence. The proportions of conflicts that religion is attributed to are actually very small. And if you whittle out those conflicts that have used religion as leverage, then it's even smaller. And these pale compared to the specifically anti-religious movements and their conflicts. Ultimately, our world does not have an answer for why. We don't deal with the cause. God, however, gets peace right. He does deal with the cause. You see, the big claim of the Bible, of Christianity, is that the lack of peace that we experience, that we each experience, is because the world is not meant to be this way. But in fact, the cause of our lack of peace is sin. That's the Bible's word for the rejection of God and his perfect design for our lives. God created the world good. People in perfect relationship with himself. But the disobedience of humanity to God's way caused the world to go out of joint, to be broken. Talk to a physiotherapist, and they will tell you all about how your back pain is caused by tightness in your hips. Your headaches are because your stress is causing you to clench your jaw. Your stiff shoulders are because of the way that you sit at your desk. If you have an appointment with a chiropractor, they will they'll realign all of your joints, popping and cracking their way down your spine, and suddenly you're able to lift your shoulder higher again. The aches and pains of this world, the lack of peace with ourselves and with other people, is because the world is out of joint. It is broken and stiff. This is a problem with humanity in general, and it is a problem with each one of us individually. The Bible says that everyone, all of us, you and me, have fallen short of the glory of God. That means that we've each sinned. When we think about what the glory of God is, complete holiness, perfection. It's pretty reasonable to say that we've fallen short of it, isn't it? Have you ever done anything wrong? Have you ever lied? Cheated? Have you ever stolen something, even small? Just done anything wrong? Not just that, but have you ever thought or said anything wrong? You see, where you and I may see the outside of one another, God also looks on the inside and sees the heart. When I was younger, I took this as great encouragement. Being slightly funny looking, it seems reasonable that I would get a better deal if God looked on the inside and everyone else looked on the outside. And yet when I look at the reality of everything inside, well, it would be better off for every single one of us, wouldn't it, if we could just keep the outside as the outside, and that's all anyone sees. That's all God sees. That way we can keep up appearances, we can pretend that we're all sorted, and we can get on with our lives. But that would need God to ignore the root cause of our lack of peace. It would need him to ignore our chaos and suffering, our conflict and devastation. You see, sin being the cause of our lack of peace is the only diagnosis that works. Sin means that we, contrary to what JFK said, are always in some way at war. And therefore, we're never at peace. Sin means we're at war with ourselves, at war with other people, and ultimately, the cause of our lack of peace, at war with God. Sin means that we do not love others in the way that God loves them. We rob one another of dignity. We are deaf to cries of suffering. We are in constant conflict. We're at war with others. We're at war with ourselves. Sin doesn't just cause outer turmoil, but our sinful state is the cause of our inner turmoil. Not only this, but we're at war with God. By being sinful, by rejecting God, we would evict him from the throne of our lives. We say no to him. If he is to be king of our lives, well, we would rather wear the crown. And so we're in a state of constant war because of sin, with ourselves, with others, and with God. But God sees the cause of our lack of peace. He sees our hearts, and he loves us too much to leave us in that state. And that is the reason why he sent Jesus Christ, his one and only Son, to live a perfect life. He never sinned. And that in his perfect life, he would die, killed by us, for us. He was a sacrifice to deal with the cause. The passage we read earlier says from verse 16, so they took Jesus. Verse 17, he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of the skull. In verse 18, there they crucified him. Him with two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. He died alongside criminals. He died the worst death imaginable, that we might be saved. You see, in living the perfect life, his death, well, he was the only one in the entire history of humanity that did not deserve it. And yet he went there willingly. He took the punishment that each one of us deserves, the consequences of sin, that is death. The Bible describes how each one of us deserves that death. Each one of us deserves the wrath of God poured out upon us because of our sin and our rejection of God. And yet God incarnate, the Lord Jesus Christ, goes there in our place, a sacrifice, a substitute, to take that wrath upon himself so that we might live in a restored relationship with God. Jesus hangs his head and says, it is finished. It is over. His sacrifice is complete. This was not a freak accident. It was God's plan all along that he may bring us back to himself. Remember how in verse 24, the soldiers had cast lots for his clothes. Well, that was predicted hundreds and hundreds of years earlier. Over 1,000 years earlier, God had instructed his people to eat a lamb on the night that he would rescue them from slavery in Egypt. The lamb wasn't to have any broken bones. And the point of that was to point to this exact moment where Jesus would die without any of his bones broken because he had already died. Now, if we have faith in him, in the Lord Jesus Christ, our relationship with God is restored. God looks at you and he sees Jesus. He blots out your imperfect record with Jesus's perfect one. He looks at your chains and he smashes them. Faith in him brings us, therefore, three things. Peace with God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, peace with God, peace with others, and peace with ourselves. We have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ because we're no longer counted as rebellious against him, no longer counted as hostile, no longer enemies. But instead, We're adopted sons and daughters of him. We're counted as his friend. Rather than rebelling against our Creator, we're restored to perfect relationship with him. That's peace with God. Because of that, we can have peace with others. Jesus doesn't simply remind us that we ought to love our neighbor as ourselves. He deepens it to even our enemy. The Apostle Paul instructs Christians to pray for those who persecute them by telling his followers to turn the other cheek. Jesus transforms ethics and completely revolutionizes understandings of right and wrong. Peace with ourselves. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. So let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." In fact, we're told in our anxiety to cast our fears and our burdens on the Lord. It's worth saying that while Jesus' sacrifice, his death and resurrection brings us into peace with God, we at many times, we won't feel the peace with others, will we? We won't feel the peace with ourselves. We'll still experience arguments, conflicts, and many of us don't experience that peace with ourselves, feeling incredibly burdened at times. Well, as Christ has made us right with God, achieving peace with him, the infection has gone. But as with long COVID, where the symptoms remain, so too with us, that it so often is the case. Christ promises that he will one day, he will come again, and there will be no more suffering, no more pain. There'll be no more unrest, no more strife, no more inner turmoil, but complete joy. And as we look forward to that day, we can see how those things that treat the symptoms that we spoke about earlier, well, they can be good and useful. Living purposefully, practicing peace in practical ways, they can be helpful, but they don't solve peace. They don't solve it. They're not the solution. Simply, they're to help as we wait confident in the knowledge that God has dealt with the cause. The infection has gone. The cause has been vanquished, and we have peace with God. Our imperfect peace with one another and ourselves will one day be made perfect once and for all. If you're hearing this for the very first time, let me encourage you. There's no better thing that you can do than to read an account of Jesus' life on his own terms. The chapter 19 of John's Gospel, read John's Gospel that we read today. Read John's Gospel. Maybe ask a friend to do that with you. If you are just tuning in online, please don't feel hesitant about reaching out to us at the Barge. We'd love to read an account of Jesus' life with you. If you've heard this lots of times, hundreds of times before, let me assure you that one day, perfect peace with one another and with ourselves will be completely achieved as we look forward to Christ coming again because of what he achieved on the cross for us, peace with God. Let's be confident in that knowledge as we go into this Easter season. Let's pray. Our loving Father, we do thank you for your solution to the cause of our unrest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that you're not simply treating symptoms, but going to the very heart of the problem. We ask for your help and your forgiveness, that we may live in peace with you, with ourselves, and with one another. Amen.